You feel good already? Amen. Some people say Christianity ain't about feelings, or it's not about feelings. Well, let me just tell you this right here. You know, staying married for 20 years ain't about feelings either. After that first year, those feelings, you know what I mean? What happens is that the way you used to feel, you know, you want to talk on the phone all day long. You want to write letters and give flowers. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You know, something happens. You forget the number to the flower place. Amen. Real love has to kick in then. Because love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Come on, somebody say amen. Love is more than just a feeling, because if love was a feeling, you wouldn't be married to the person you're married to today. Because most of the time you can watch television and get a feeling. That's why you got to bring your feelings into subjection to God's word. Amen. You won't always feel like meditating the word or praying the word or coming to church and hearing some big, tall, yellow preacher lecture you on what God you think or he think God told him. Amen. You don't always feel like doing that. But the truth of the matter is you don't live by feelings. You don't walk by feelings. You walk by faith. Amen. And faith is a product of God's word. The more you stay in his word, the more your faith grows, the more your faith increases. Amen. We're going to continue our subject on the mind makeover. Amen. And the reason why I brought that up, you know, concerning, you know, us forgetting the number to the flowers and different things of that nature is because it is so also with our relationship with God. You know, I was talking to a young man of God who's an awesome man of God in our ministry yesterday, I believe it was. And he was talking about how it was when he first got filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And he just felt that joy and that overwhelming presence of God. And that as you begin to mature and you begin to grow, what happens is it seems like sometimes that God has almost left you because you don't experience the same feelings that you had experienced in the beginning. And I told him, I said, listen, son, I said, the same thing happened to me. One time I was in my apartment and, you know, years ago when I first got into ministry and I was praying and praying for hours. And when I first got filled with the Spirit of God, my life was changed. You guys know the testimony. I mean, I went from being a drug user and all type of things like that. Within a moment of time, I was delivered. I mean, the power of God touched my life. I was praying in the Spirit and didn't even know what, you know, praying in tongues was or whatever the case may be. But what ended up happening was, is that, you know, maybe 6 or 8 months later, you know what I mean? I wasn't experiencing the same power and the same presence that I was experiencing in the beginning. It just seemed like everything I did was wonderful. Amen. Somebody cussed me out, I just smile, hallelujah to Jesus. You know what I mean? Somebody threatened me, I'm just happy and joy. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, people cussing me out. Now, all of a sudden, it's starting to affect me. Come on, somebody say amen. I ain't got that same river flowing through me. But what it was, the Spirit of God had told me, he said, Claude, he said, look here. He said, I'm taking the bottle out of your mouth. Because I don't want you to live by your feelings. I want you to live by faith. See, faith, your faith muscle is an invisible muscle. See, if you like my friend back here, the guy that do my wife's nails, he got big muscles back there. Amen. He got big muscles. Amen. And those big muscles, they'll do us good, but faith muscles are more important because faith muscles are invisible. People can't see them except you get in a circumstance and your response to that circumstance. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So if you don't develop your faith muscles, what'll happen is that you'll be weak. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So today we just want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So that when you're going through things, you don't think that God left you. Amen. You see that he's working in your heart. Amen. It's a mind makeover. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Mark chapter 4. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. In the book of Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the sower. And you're going to say, what does this have to do with the work of the Holy Spirit? We're going to show you in a minute. Amen. The parable of the sower. We're going to give you four different heart conditions. We're going to talk about it in the word of God. Amen. Now, let me say something to you. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there is never, ever anything wrong with the seed. It's always something wrong with the soil. God's word has enough power in itself to bring itself to pass in one's life if it is appropriated properly. But if the soil isn't correct, it doesn't matter what you do with the word, the soil is what causes that seed to come forth. Amen. So it's important that you know the condition of your heart. And prayerfully, by the Holy Spirit today, I'm going to be able to bring out these heart conditions to be able to show you the condition of your heart. Tell your name as a neighbor. Doesn't matter what your condition of your heart is. It matters about mine. See, because at the end of the day, you can't blame anybody. You can only blame yourself. Amen. Verse 1 says, he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea of the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. I want you to circle wayside, because we're going to get you these four conditions down. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 5, some fell among stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth. It had no depth. I want you to circle stony ground. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, some fell among thorns. I want you to circle thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on the good ground. Somebody say good ground. Make sure you circle that good ground. Now, right now, I want you to say out of your mouth, say, I declare that my heart is good ground. And did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. And he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, boy, do you got some big ears. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Powerful principle. I won't stay there, though. Verse 12. That seeing they may not see and perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? So he's telling you all parables is hinged off of this parable. Verse 14. The sower sows the word. So make sure you understand that what is being planted is God's word. Verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now I want you to circle the word hearts, because don't get confused. The word heart is the Greek word cardia, which means the mind. Okay? It's talking about your mind. The word being sown into your mind, okay? And you need to know this, because when you get born again, there's two things I want to bring out. When you get born again, this is what happens. Your spirit man is all brand new. The problem ain't with you, your spirit man. The problem is with your mind, your emotion, and your will. So when he's talking about your heart, he's talking about your mind. He's dealing with your intellect, your thoughts, the feelings, the very seed of you, the seed of your emotions, the part that has not been born again. That part needs to be renewed. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:23 that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Romans chapter 12 tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So you know that, because you come here, that you can get born again and still live a very unsuccessful life because you have not properly renewed your mind. The renewing of your mind happens by the word of God. The more words you put in you, the more renewing you have. Now, the word renew means to renovate. Somebody say renovate. I'm going to say this again. God wants all of the old out. He wants it all out. He don't want to leave it in there and dust it off and say, hey, that's a good piece of furniture. No, he wants all of it out. And he wants the fresh and the new in there. Remember what I said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Just write it down. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. It says that you and I have the mind of Christ. Somebody say, I have the mind of Christ. Now watch this. The word Christ is the Greek word that means the anointing. The anointing. So you have the mind of the anointing, or the mind of the anointed one. Now Isaiah chapter 10 tells us that the purpose of the anointing, somebody say the purpose of the anointing, is to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. So you have a supreme mindset, a superior way of thinking. Here's what I mean. When the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit, comes to live in you by way of you confessing and acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior, what happens is that his mind comes too. He doesn't come and live in you without his mind. So that mindset comes to live in you and to operate in you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So now watch this right here. This is real powerful right here. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says that you and I have to let this mind that was in Christ Jesus dwell in you also. The word let means allow. That means you and I can either allow that mind to operate or we can disallow that mind to operate. Now, the mind of Christ, or the mind of the anointed one, or the Holy Spirit himself, doesn't see limitations. He doesn't see barriers or boundaries, because you have to remember that when everything was chaotic, everything was dark, and it was empty and it was void, God spoke and declared a word, and the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the deep, and out of darkness came light. Out of chaos came structure, because of the spoken word of God. The Spirit of God does not see limitations. So when that Spirit comes in you and lives in you, your mindset elevates. I'm talking to you. You better catch what I'm saying. You have a superior way of thinking. So you should not be down here pecking with the chickens, talking about what's going on. Because what's going on has nothing to do with what's going on. Because everything that's going on is a product of people not seeing what's going on. Once you get to seeing what really is going on and you start saying what's going on, you're going to start seeing out there what's going on. That's the power that the body of the anointed one, Jesus, has. So you don't have a spirit that is of the world. The Bible says we have received the Spirit of God, whereby we may freely know all things that have been given to us. Come on, you got to catch what I'm saying. The Spirit of God is in the business of showing you what God sees, showing you what God says. The Spirit of God is not in the business of showing you what the world says. He's not the spirit of the world. I'm preaching good. Somebody got to catch this. So what does that mean for you and I? It means that when we submit ourselves to this superior way of thinking, this mindset, this unlimited mindset, this Holy Spirit, this person of God, when we submit ourselves to him, what happens is that you and I begin to see things the way God sees them. We begin to see people the way God sees them. Why? We can't treat people no more the way we see them, because now we see them the way God sees them. We can't talk about circumstances the way we see them now, because what? We talk about them the way God sees them. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Well, what has this got to do with the condition of your heart? He gave four different heart conditions. And I'm going to show you why it has something to do with the condition of your heart. Turn to John chapter 15 and keep your finger right there on Mark chapter 4. You could just, I don't even need that. You could just, but thank you for it. If I need to run reference, we'll go there. How you feeling there, Shep? You all right? How y'all feel out there? You learning something? We can go home right now if we want to. That was a good enough Holy Ghost word, right? He said, yeah. Amen. You don't like my preaching, man? Tell you, he said, neighbor, pastor, love what he does. I love what I do. Amen. I was telling our class this morning, the job of the fivefold ministry is to perfect you, to make you glorious. The Bible said that God is going to beautify the house of his glory. He ain't talking about the bricks. He's talking about you and I. We are the house of his glory. And he's going to beautify us. Glory be to God. You know what that means? That means that this word has the ability to make an ugly person look good. That's just a little joke right there. Amen. John chapter 15. You ready? Verse 1. It says, I am the true vine. That means there are some false vines out there. Amen. He said, my father is the husbandman. Circle the word husbandman. That word husbandman means the soil worker. Now, when we talk about the father being the soil worker, we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Hear what I'm saying here. The Holy Spirit works the condition of your heart. Your heart is the soil. If your heart is hard, stagnant, full of doubt, full of fear, full of unbelief, full of all of that stuff, it's because you haven't allowed the Spirit of God to work your soil. If you ever done any kind of gardening before of your life, and unfortunately I have, because when I was a kid, I lived in Detroit, but my mother used to make me go to my shirt tail grandmother's house. She had like four gardens, and she didn't have a tractor. She had what's called a rototiller. So I'm out there in that old hard ground, and she's screaming at me, Junior, move it over to the left. And I'm like, I hate this mess. I can't stand this mess. You know what I mean? I think Jesus just empowered farmers. You know what I mean? All of his parables was about farming. But that soil was hard. That soil was rough. Have you ever tried to plant seed on rough soil? See, a lot of times, you know what I mean, people are praying the word and confessing the word, you know what I mean? But they need to get into the place where the Spirit of God, you're in the presence of God, and you're allowing him to work your soil. Come on. Because, see, if you don't allow him to work the soil of your heart, you can just be intelligently accurate concerning God's word. So you'll know everything from this perspective, but from the heart. Here's what Jesus said. He said that their mouth is close to me, but their heart is far from me. That means you can have the right stuff, but not have the right heart. So you need the Spirit of God to work the ground of your heart. You know, we had a hoe. I guess that's what they called it. It was like a stick with like a little blade on it. And, you know, we didn't have the combines and stuff that they had now. Maybe they did have, but we was too poor to have it. So she would take a stick and she would have me. Somebody say, have pastor. Yeah, I did all the work. She took the stick, and the stick was two sticks rolled together with a whole bunch of twine on it. And you take the one stick and pop it in the ground with a rubber mallet, and then you roll it all the way out down to the other end. And she'd be down there, old black lady with a hat on, big straw hat, talking about, Junior, move it over there to the left. That's not straight, boy. Did you hear what I told you? Move that string over to the left. I'm down there swatting because mosquitoes bite me. Did you spray yourself with that? Oh, boy, I told you. Move it to the left. So I'm moving over there. I got my left and right all confused, and I pop it in the ground. She said, now come here and grab this hoe. And I grabbed the hoe, and we got to rake a hole in the ground. And then she would come behind me, and she'd start planting seed. Notice she didn't just go out there, even though she didn't have a combine, even though she didn't have all the proper equipment, she didn't just go out there with the seed and start scattering it on the ground. See, the first condition of the heart is called wayside. It's the place where the seed is scattered and the birds just come and grab it right off the ground and take it away. The Bible calls it the fowls of the air. What does this represent? This represents right here, and I'm still going somewhere. This represents right here. I'm going to John 15. Say, he going to John 15. I'm going there. This represents the person that hears the word but does not allow the Spirit of God to work the ground of their heart. Look back here, John 15. Look what it says right here. I'm going there. He said, every branch in me that beareth not what? He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. No, don't get it twisted. Take them and say, don't get it twisted. The purpose of the word is to bring forth fruit. No farmer ever sets and plants any seed without an expectation to bring forth what he sees on that little package. No farmer. That will be a fool to plant a seed and not get a harvest. Now watch this right here. So, the seed is the word of God. And when the word of God is planted in the human heart or the human mind, God expects harvest out of your life. The first condition is the person that does not allow the Spirit of God to work the soil of their ground. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me. Somebody say, abide in me. Abide. That word abide means continue. It's the Greek word meno. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. The purpose of planting the seed is to bring forth fruit. In this case, it says much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Say that. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. I don't care how intelligent you are, how smart you are, how good looking you are. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Concerning the kingdom of God, you can do absolutely nothing. Now watch this right here. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He's withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask whatever you will, and shall be done in you. Here's what I love. Herein is my Father what? See, the fruit gives glory to God. See, when that seed is planted in your heart and that seed comes out to be much fruit, guess what? God gets the glory. When people see you once was sick and now you're healed, God gets glory. People see you once was poor, now you're blessed, God gets glory. People see you once was, you know, strife and contention in your marriage and now your marriage is whole, God gets the glory. But guess what? Without him, you could do nothing. I'm trying to show you something here. Now watch this. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Disciples. They are fruit bearers. They are fruit bearers. They are fruit bearers. Now, there are people who are followers. You know, there are people who are just, you know, they hear and they, you know, they struggle along with. But the key is that you want to be a disciple. What is a disciple? The Greek word mathetes. One who makes the conduct, or who listens to his master, adheres to his teaching, and makes it his conduct of living. It'd be like you trying to find Bruce Lee and asking him to teach you and don't listen to nothing he say. The purpose of following Bruce Lee would be to become like Bruce Lee. That's what a disciple is. Come on, somebody say amen to this. A disciple is one who adheres to his master's teaching and make it his conduct for living. Now, in this case, the master is Jesus. He's the master. We are the under shepherds and the disciples, whatever the case may be. Amen. But without the seed being planted upon good ground, guess what? Without the Holy Spirit working that ground of our heart, guess what? The birds just come and they grab it and they take it. The second condition that Jesus spoke about, amen, was the stony ground. This one is powerful right here. The stony ground. Matter of fact, let's go back to Mark so I can read it instead of me just, you know, saying it. Let's go back to Mark. Verse 16. These are they likewise which are sown on what? Who when they have heard the word, tell your neighbor, say neighbor, they hear the word. And then they immediately receive it with gladness. This is what makes the whole thing in the church deceptive, because here you see this heart condition. They hear the word and they immediately receive it with gladness. Good word, Pastor. That was powerful. That was anointed. I receive it in Jesus' name. Well, let's check that out right quick. And have no what? In themselves. Over here in chapter 4, in the first part, when he talked about it and he didn't break the parable down, he said they have no root and they have no depth. Tell your neighbor, say depth. I remember Pastor Robert Leridan came to our church years ago. And when he came to our church, Pastor Healy, Christian Life Center Church, he talked about spiritual depth. This is very important. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor, you need to be deep. I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes people say, well, it ain't all that deep. But I'm going to answer it. I'm going to say it like this. Yes, it is. People who endure and who last and who bring forth fruit are deep people. I didn't say spooky people. I didn't say floozy people. I heard the Spirit of God. Ooh. I didn't say them kind of people. I said deep. The Bible said deep calls unto deep. Now let me show you why you need to be a deep person. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn there. This here is going to bless you. Now, I preach this particular part of the text all the time, but I want to bring it out again because it's deep. Look at verse 9. It says, but I, as it is written, I hath not seen. Now, I'm going to slowly move through. That means your natural eye cannot see what it's talking about here. Ear has not heard. That means your natural ear. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Neither has it entered into the heart or the mind of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love them. Now, Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, everything that God has prepared is hidden. Not from you, but for you. Now you have to have the proper and adequate tools to be able to access what is hidden. The Bible says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to say something powerful to you. I told this to the young man I was talking to yesterday, that anything that is valuable takes time. Now we're talking about making disciples. Anything that is valuable takes time. Now I'm going to talk about women and men, so don't nobody get mad. If you're with a person that don't want to wait, then it's not valuable. I got one hand clapping. That's from my daughter. See, if somebody, can I just be real here? If somebody just want to go ahead and jump into it right off the top, guess what? They have no self-worth, no self-esteem, no self-value. Because when you value something, hear what I'm saying? Because I'm going to clean it up in a minute because I don't want people, because all of us have made choices. Myself, I've made bad choices. My wife was a very good choice because she kept me understanding my value. And I keep her understanding her value. But here's the point right here, is that you are valuable in the mind of God. The Bible said, as you esteem or value in your heart, so are you. So you're so valuable that you don't need anybody just to give yourself away to. I'm using this as an analogy right here. Anything that happens right off the top ain't even worth nothing anyhow. Let's just move here to the food right here. Have you ever cooked some black-eyed peas and some fatback in a slow cooker? You know what I'm talking about. It ain't the same kind that you get from Taco Bell or something. See, we don't value time anymore. Time is God's will. You got to hear what I'm saying. Because time helps you understand the process. See, if I don't ever cook for my family and all I do is go out to eat, I don't value time. Man, I'm trying to show you something right here. That's why families don't sit down and eat together no more. There's no value. It's easier just to go out and just pop in 99 billion served at McDonald's. Amen. And all of us need to quit giving them our money. Amen. And spend time with the family and start valuing each other. Anything that takes time is valuable. Y'all understand that principle right there? You understand that, right? It ain't going to just happen overnight. See, can I be vulnerable as a pastor? That's my whole problem with working out. Because every time I work out, I want to be like The Rock after 2 days. I tell my wife, I put a time limit on it. I said, baby, 30 days, I guarantee you I'll be swole like The Rock. So I hit it for like 3 days. I'm like, man, I'm tired of this. My arms hurting. My chest hurting. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever worked out so much your butt cheeks hurt? I mean, come on. But I didn't value it because it only lasts 2 days. But it's the guys that just sit down and every day do 10 push-ups, 20 sit-ups. You know what I mean? And just do it every day consistently. That's why Jesus said, if you abide, if you continue, if you just stick with it, don't start it. You know what I mean? Don't get up and pray for 4 hours one day and be like, I got this thing under control. Then the next day skip and the next day skip. And think that 4 hours, that one day is going to last the next day. There's a whole nother devil waiting for you the next day. There's a whole nother level of problems waiting for you the next day. Y'all better catch what I'm saying. You're hearing this right here. Tell your neighbor, say, abide. Watch this right here. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them, those hidden things, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth what? Yea, the what? The deep things. One translation say these deep things are bottomless things, limitless things. That means, guess what? God don't run out of resources. He is the source, and he never, ever runs out of resources. You got to catch what I'm saying here. That's what the Bible said. He'll supply your need according to his riches and glory. He just takes it right up off of the geographical location of the earth and say, you know what? I got your back. Don't be concerned about how it's going to happen because it's according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say deep things. Deep things. So in that particular context of the stony ground, the person had no depth. Why did they have no depth? I'm going to bring it right back to the Holy Spirit. When you value your relationship with the Holy Spirit, we talked about this Wednesday. When you start communing with him, when you start fellowshipping with him. How do you do that, Pastor? Can I just make it simple? It's how you do it. Before you read the word, say, Holy Spirit, you are the author and the inspirer of this word. Help me to understand this word. You can tell when people don't spend time with the Holy Ghost because this is what they say. I can't understand that Bible. It got too many D's, dials, and dusses, and all that other stuff in it. Listen, Smith Wigglesworth didn't have all the translations we have, and them guys knew God. And they knew the word of God. Come on, somebody say amen to this. See, you ain't got to listen. You could be in the natural. You could be the dumbest person on the planet. Now, see, y'all about to judge me. You could have no intellect at all. But you start hungering for this word right here. The great teacher will begin to teach you. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. You don't need Tyndale Bible College. You don't need Moody Bible College. Most of them guys don't even know God. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Most of them guys trying to figure God out. But when you start getting into a place where, see, my page is ripped up because I've been hungering for him. When you start getting to a place where you say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I trust you. I worship you. I depend on you. Jesus said, watch this. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Luke 17:21. Jesus said the kingdom of God don't come with observation. He said you can't see it with your natural eye, can't hear it with your natural ear. He said the kingdom is in you. He was talking about the person of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God gets on the inside of a believer and envelopes you, all of a sudden the mindset of the kingdom comes on you. I don't care if you graduated. Listen, you got to hear what I'm saying here, because a lot of people use that as their excuse. God wants to know you far more than you want to know him. If you'll go an inch, guess what? God will go a yard. I promise you that. Lord, have mercy. All I'm trying to do today is push you towards him. See, you got to decide what the condition of your heart is. Do you want spiritual depth? Do you want spiritual depth? Do you want to be able to know the bottomless things of God? Do you want to be able to know what other people don't know? Don't matter if they look like they know it. The times we're living in right now need to know it. You need to know God. The Apostle Paul said, I'm giving up every single thing I learned that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Doesn't matter if you know me. I can't give you what God can give you. You don't have to try to work up some type of favor with me. Forget about me. Get into the presence of God and get to know God for yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you get to know him, watch this right here. Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and direct you into truth. Everybody else will walk in error, but the Spirit of God will say, I got you, son. Move to the left. Go that way right there. It's a car accident about to come around the corner right here, and you're going to miss it by obeying my voice. But that requires you to know him. The Bible said he'll transmit. Transmit. You know what the transmit is? Have you ever had a radio and you couldn't get the station to come in? When you turn the station, you're getting a transmission. You're starting to allow something to come through. It's a channel flowing. The channel is always flowing, but according to your tuner or your heart condition, you can hear what's on the other side of what's being said. The Bible said that he will transmit unto you that which is Jesus. That means when you allow the Spirit of God to work the soul of your heart, Holy Ghost will start talking to you. The Bible said he'll show you things to come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You could be contemplating of being with this person and the Holy Ghost say, ain't the one. You could be contemplating of taking this job and the Holy Ghost will say, not the one. You could be contemplating on buying the house and the Holy Ghost will say, not the one. Because the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. And he will teach you. Somebody say he will teach you concerning all things. But guess what? All those things, the Bible said that God has prepared. They are revealed by the Spirit of God. The word revealed is the Greek word apokalupta. Somebody say apokalupta. Sound like a Mel Gibson movie, don't it? Apokalupta. It means to take the cover off. I wish I had a cover. Because most people are walking around with a cover on their head. They're worse than Linus. They don't got their thumb in their mouth and they're dragging the cover. They got the cover on their head. Amen. Blind to the things of God. See, she's going to make me do it. Amen. You're going to make me do it. Let's go to the third condition because I want to close up. Go back to Mark chapter 4. This third one is really deep here. Matter of fact, let me just bring something else about this one right here. When you have no spiritual depth, the enemy can still come at you with offense. The Bible says in verse 17, have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake. Somebody say affliction and persecution. This is why it arises. People who don't, you know, trust the word, they don't get afflicted and persecuted. It's the ones who trust the word. That affliction and that persecution will come because of the word's sake. Now, I want to make a distinct understanding of when he say the word's sake. He's talking about the word of the kingdom. Because if you go back up, he's telling you about that the word of the kingdom that's being sold. So the kingdom of God is God's realm, God's reign, God's rule, God's system operating in and through mankind. When that word of the kingdom gets in your spirit, the enemy, through affliction and persecution, will start to attack you. Some people last, some people don't last. But nevertheless, because they had no root, somebody say root. Do you know if a tree is going to be 50 feet tall, the root system has to be equivalent to what it's going to be? Hear what I'm saying? The inside got to be just as tough as the outside. I'm going to say that again. The inside got to be just as tough as the outside. Matter of fact, the outside is a product of what's happening on the inside. So the root system is exactly what the actual system of the tree is going to be like. So if the roots ain't big, the tree ain't going to be big. You understand that principle right there? So your spiritual roots got to be strong. You have to have depth. You have to have depth. Somebody say, I have depth. You got to know him. You know this in the principle of building. Amen. It's a law. You got to go 42 inches deep to get past frost level when you're pouring footings, because you need spiritual depth. Because when the weather changes and it freezes, when it unthaws, there's extracting. You understand that right there. So something that was planted here can be shifted here if it don't have enough depth. That's why people always shifting from church to church, because they have no depth. See, at some point in your life, you got to get to the place, come hell or high water, I'm going to stay rooted and grounded and established in the love of God. That's why Psalm says, he that is planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of his God. Even in their old age, they will bring forth fruit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to get stable, because if you're not stable, imagine taking this beautiful plant with all its potential and keep repotting it. Keep repotting it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm finishing right here. It says, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I want to bring this out right here. You know, I've seen people who get in the word, and pastor get up, myself in particular, and I'm teaching the word of faith and telling people to believe the word, confess the word, stand on the word. You know what I mean? They may have sickness or the symptoms of sickness in their body or whatever the case may be. Stand on the word. Trust the word. Believe the word, because you know what? God has already promised that you are healed, so let's believe it. Let's stand on it. Let's confess it. Amen? I have to do the same thing that you guys have to do. I'm not telling you to do something that I don't do. When I go through financial problems in my life, amen, I got to stand on the word, trust the word, believe the word, just like you do. Amen? But what happens is that people don't have root or depth in themselves, and then they get offended at the word. Well, I gave this much tithe, and I gave this much offering, and I did this, and I sold that, and nothing has happened yet. Amen. That's just like a teenager. I'm 14 years old. I'm ready to drive right now. I'm 15 years old. I'm ready to drive right now. Why do I got to wait for so long? Remember what I told you. Waiting determines the value. My God. That's why the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They didn't say, they that come to church on Sunday and wait for the pastor to get done in an hour. They didn't say that. Did not say that. Did not say that. Half the people that want to get done in an hour don't pray at all at home. Because anybody who has any type of intimacy with God would not put a limit on God. Anybody that has any type of intimacy with God will not put a limit on God. Because though you might think he's done with your chicken, he could be working on somebody else's chicken. And you didn't come to the house of God for yourself anyhow. You came here so you can be a servant to somebody else. See, your praise, watch this, is contagious. If you praise God, guess what? Somebody else might see you praising God exuberantly, and it becomes contagious. But if you come here selfishly waiting on the preacher to get done so you can get home and finish what you're doing, maybe God ain't even in what you're doing. I'm just going to stay Pastor Claude. Amen. I'm going to keep it Pastor Claude, because you know what? Amen. You know what I mean? How did it get to the place where we are so satisfying to people that we're not making disciples any longer? We're not making disciples any longer. We got to make disciples. When Jesus come back, he coming back for a glorious church. He ain't coming back for some pencil pushing. Come on, y'all catch what I'm saying. Weak, impotent, crippled, lame, no Bible understanding, no Bible confessing, no prayer language type of having people. He coming back for a glorious church. Yeah. Amen. I say amen to myself. Take David said, don't get offended. When you get offended, your destiny is off and ended. Offended. Off and ended. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is powerful right here. Your submission is not determined about, your submission is never determined until you are challenged. That shows your submission. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's easy to be submitted when everything is good, ain't it? It is, ain't it? But it's hard to be submitted when things might not seem good. When the president say, I'm going to give all of y'all chocolate milk for lunch. And you go to, you know, and you get low-fat 2% milk. And it's not chocolate. Amen. I'm just being funny, y'all. I'm sorry. Amen. Can I finish it up? 18. These are they which are sown among thorns. Somebody say thorns. I love this one right here. This one is so powerful right here. Such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and they do what? They choke the word. And it becomes what? Remember, the purpose of the word is to bear fruit. Doesn't matter how good the tree look, if it ain't bearing fruit, the tree is no good. I don't care if the tree give you shade in your yard. If it don't bear fruit, then the tree is no good. The purpose of the tree is to bear fruit. The purpose of the tree is to bear fruit. The purpose of the plant is to bear fruit. In this particular case, the plant grew up, but the cares of the world choked it. The deceitfulness of riches choked it. The lust of other things choked it. I'm about to just drop it right now. Can I drop the Superman draws? Can I do that right now? Can I drop them right quick? Cares of this world. It could be how you going to do this, how you going to pay this, how you going to pay that, how you going to pay this. You know what I mean? You'll never know if God will bless you or bless your giving or your tithing if you don't ever step out by faith. And the enemy has a way of keeping you in that same position so that you'll never step out in obedience. My God, I'm talking to somebody today. And guess what? The word never becomes fruitful in the area. It's being choked. The next one, deceitfulness of riches. People just chasing after money so much. I told you that money is the closest thing to omnipotence. Or omnipotential. Or potential. All power. Money is, because money can just about get you whatever God can get you. So, you cannot say that God is your God if you're always chasing money. So, God's trying to work the word in you so that it can grow up and bear fruit. But the fruit ain't coming up because that deceitfulness of riches is choking it. I didn't say you was out there selling crack on the streets. You don't have to do that. Just put your job and everything else before God. I'm going to talk to somebody today. You got to catch what I'm saying. We're getting to the place. People should know this by now. They should know this by now. That your job that used to be ain't even promised tomorrow. So why would you take and put a job that ain't promised to you over God, who is the one that created the thing? All you got to do is read the book of Jeremiah. Read the book of Jeremiah. He says the things that you have made have become your gods. The very work of our hands have become our God. We'll buy a car and won't pick nobody up to church for it. Well, I don't need church. I can watch it online now. Well, you go ahead, watch it online. That's a perfect trick from the devil. Because guess what? Watching TV preachers, and let me just say this. I love TV preachers. But watching TV preachers don't replace the intimacy that you have with the corporate body of Christ. It just don't. You can't reach through the TV and hold nobody's hand. You can't sit there and say, Lord, which one of them I'm going to pray for through the TV screen. Tell your neighbor, say, the deceitfulness of riches is choking the word. See, we ought to be connected. I was teaching the class this morning. I told mama and them that the word logos is where we get our word Lego from. Logos. Lego. When I was a kid, I had Lego. I had a flat little thing. Even though it came from the Salvation Army and some of the pieces was missing. You had yellow pieces, blue pieces, red pieces, and you would put them all together until you built a city or built a village or built whatever it was. See, you and I are the logos. You got to catch what I'm saying. That word of God has to become a person. That logos has to become flesh. So you and I get the word in us and then we connect. Come on. Come on up here. Come on. We connect and we link up. The Bible said two are better than one and a threefold cord is not easily broken. That means if I'm going through a situation in my marriage, I ain't by myself. I got a couple brothers that are linked up with me that can agree by faith with me what I'm going through. But I can't agree by faith with brother so-and-so on the TV screen. He can't grab me. The Bible said if I touch and agree.
Come on now.
I'm trying to show you something. See, it's a work of the enemy to keep you and I separated. See, he done got us out of our house cooking dinner and eating as a family and got us over at McDonald's. See, all of it is to create division. Because division comes from the word devil. Dia. Dia, which means separate. Diabolos. So all I got to do is keep throwing tricks at you to keep you separated from people because isolation equals amputation. You got to catch what I'm saying. If you cut yourself off from the life source, then I can't help fix you. You can't fix me if we ain't connected. I didn't say get connected with me if you're a good person. Connect with me no matter what you like. Because if you connect with me, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? That lives in me and lives in you. He's going to start working on the inside of both of us in our hearts. That's if we're connected. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Acts chapter 5. Chapter 4. Don't go there. Ananias and Sapphira. I told one of my ministers this morning, the Holy Ghost poured that thing in my heart. Because what Peter asked him is he said, why has Satan filled your heart? See, if you disconnect with me, he can fill your heart. That's why fellowship with one another is important. Because the devil don't sleep. He's always trying to get into our hearts. He's trying to put something in my heart about you, something in your heart about me. Come on, something in your heart about this one, something in that heart about that one. That's his job. He is the accuser of the brethren. But this house right here is a Holy Ghost filled house. And watch this. And this shepherd right here walks in the love of God. You hear what I'm saying? I ain't going to let no devil come and take not one more of my babies. You better catch what I'm saying. Shaka Zulu. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. Tell your neighbor, say, he's a liar. See, if he can keep us separated, we can't grow. You read it, Ephesians 4 and 16. Every joint supplies so that the body could be edified in love. Every joint supplies. My God, I'm trying to get there, y'all. Last one, 20. These are they that are sown on good ground. Somebody say, I am. I'm good ground. Now, let me determine good ground. Good ground is this right here. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work the ground of my heart. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to work the ground of my heart. I'm allowing the word of God to have first place in my life. Not my feelings, not my thoughts, but God's thoughts. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we in a new day. See, the Spirit of God, the Bible said, as many, Romans 8 and 13, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Raise your hand if you are a son and daughter of God. Come on, raise them on up. Raise them on up. I didn't say raise it up based upon you being a good doer or do-gooder. If you have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are a son and daughter of God. Okay? Amen. Give yourself a hand clap. But here's how our sonship is proven. When we're led by the Spirit. The word led is the Greek word aga. Some translations ago. Here's what it means. It means to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Now, when we say language like that, a lot of people like to take it and make it flaky. You know what I mean? Under the control of the Spirit, God make you do stupid stuff. Sometimes God do make you do some stuff that just ain't, you know, amen. He'll have you dip inside swampy water to get healed. You know, he'll spit in mud and heal your eyeballs. I mean, he do some weird stuff, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But in the case of this scripture here, being under the control of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say something to you. There is no being under the control of the Holy Spirit unless you are under the control of the Word. The Spirit of God will never lead you anywhere opposite of this Bible. Hear what I'm saying here. He'll never lead you anywhere opposite of God's Word. So the person that has the good ground, say, I have good ground. I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit. I'm under the control of the Word of God. I give God's Word first place in my life. Watch what happened. They hear the Word and they receive the Word. The word receive means they take it for their own. They receive it. And they bring forth what? Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Some 100-fold. My God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap today. Y'all learned something today? Amen. Was that all right teaching y'all? You learned something today? Amen. Now, here's the thing. To sum it all up. Doesn't matter what condition your heart is right now. The goal is to be good ground. Okay, now I can't tell you the condition of your heart. Just like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, no man knows what's in the mind of a man except the spirit of man that is in him. Okay, so you might think you know me and I might think I know you, but we don't know what's in each other's hearts. That's why when people do certain things, they do certain things, we wonder like, how did they do that? That just kind of went past me because I thought I knew that person. Well, let me tell you a little secret here. You don't even really know you. You think you know you, but do you know who really knows you? God knows you. Amen. Stand to your feet. God knows you, and he wants to reveal to you who you are through your intimacy with him. I want you to bow your head.